Outbreak management process. When an outbreak occurs, the first thing an IP should do is check the IPC program for facility-specific policies and procedures and for information and resources to help guide the IP and their interdisciplinary team through an outbreak investigation. Steps to be taken. Stakeholders to inform and include local or regional resources available to healthcare facilities and other pertinent information. The steps in an outbreak investigation are as follows. Confirm and verify the presence of an outbreak. Notify and involve key stakeholders. Identify the investigative team and available resources. Perform a literature review. Define the outbreak and develop methodology for case finding. Prepare an initial line list and epidemic curve. Observe and review implicated patient care practices. Consider if environmental or HCP sampling should be done. Implement control measures. Communicate with stakeholders and prepare an outbreak report. Declare an end to the outbreak. Note that these steps do not necessarily take place chronologically. Often, the IP and their team will be engaged in multiple steps concurrently. For example, the implementation of control measures can take place at any point at which an appropriate intervention is identified. Additionally, some steps may have to be repeated as the investigation progresses, such as redefining the case definition as additional cases are identified. Data collection should also continue throughout the entirety of the outbreak. Alongside continuing to identify cases that are part of the outbreak, the IP and their team should be conducting additional research into how best to bring the outbreak to an end. The IP should maintain an information database of outbreaks, investigations, and disease reporting. This log can be kept in a spreadsheet. It should track and record dates, times, and infection rates. It should also include contact information, both for those who need to be kept informed about the progress of the outbreak investigation and for anyone the IP might consult for advice or information. For example, pharmacy professionals, facility administration. Some of this information may be kept in the surveillance plan, so the IP should reference this plan often. Confirming potential outbreaks. If routine surveillance reveals a potential outbreak, the first step is to get confirmation. Whenever unusual results are identified, the IP should increase surveillance efforts and activities. A potential outbreak may be indicated by a single hospital acquired case of a highly communicable infectious agent, example, norovirus, group A streptococcus. A single case of an emerging or novel pathogen. An increase in infection trends at least 10% higher than historical trends. Three or more cases of a specific infection over a specific length of time in a particular location, example, on a single floor of patients or connected to a shared community space. A first step in the outbreak investigation is to come up with a hypothesis about the source of the outbreak. This is, effectively, an informed guess about the source of the infection or illness based on the information you have. For example, what do you already know about the disease? Example, reservoir, mode of transmission, known risk factors. To generate a hypothesis, the IP should consider time, place, and person. Descriptive epidemiology can help to develop hypotheses. For example, in an outbreak of Serratia marcescens bloodstream infections among patients receiving parenteral nutrition, investigators realized that none of the cases were among children. Further investigation of the parenteral nutrition administered to adults but not children in that hospital identified contaminated amino acid solution as the source. If there is a suspicion of a particular infection, then the IP should use the infection's typical incubation period to provide potential time parameters for the investigation. Engaging with case patients can also lead to valuable information, for example, by conducting wide-ranging and open-ended interviews about their movements and activities in the recent past. Sometimes, health department IPs may visit the homes of case patients in search of valuable information. Additional sources for information that can inform a hypothesis include local health department staff. Finally, if the epidemiology does not fit a natural pattern, investigators should consider the possibility of an intentional dissemination of an infectious or chemical agent. Preparing an initial line list and epidemic curve. The line list is a document that contains information related to patient symptoms. If there is a possibility that it is a pseudo-outbreak, medications, procedures, consults, patient locations, contact with HCP, and a host of other factors that might predispose the patients to the infection under investigation. it is, perhaps, the single most important tool in any outbreak investigation. Line lists also often include information about outcomes. Key point: the line list is an invaluable tool for an IP. It is used to collect together all relevant information on suspected outbreak cases. These data can be used to track and analyze the event, both during the outbreak and after it has ended. Creating a line list is a resource-intensive process, requiring an extensive review of a wide variety of information from many sources, everything from patient medical records and staff consultations to patient location data. When deciding what information to include on the line list, the IP should weigh the benefits that may be gained against the resources that will be required. It is a good practice to create an initial line list with some very basic information on potential exposures. As with many other documents and processes related to outbreaks and surveillance in general, the line list should be revised frequently so that its contents remain pertinent to the investigation. As the investigation progresses, the IP might add information to the form as needed. For example, new exposure sources or outcome results. Line lists are typically created in a spreadsheet because spreadsheets allow for easy data sorting and data trend analyses. Spreadsheets also make it easier to generate visual aids, such as graphs, tables, and charts, which will be needed when reporting findings. Line lists can take many different forms and styles. For example, some organizations or authoritative sources may have line lists dedicated to specific kinds of infections, respiratory, urinary tract, gastrointestinal, etc., that can be downloaded. Line lists should also be customized based on the needs of the specific facility and outbreak. An example of a line list template, based on CDC recommendations, is shown in Exhibit 2-7. Exhibit 2-7. Generic line list, source, adapted from CDC material. Each row in the list represents a person that may have been affected by the outbreak. All line lists should include demographics, location, signs and symptoms, diagnostics, and outcomes. Demographics. This includes the name, age, and sex of patients and staff. Location. It is essential to know where each potentially infected individual is located or works. This information helps the IP to identify possible locations that might be the source of an outbreak. Example, a majority or significant cluster of cases may either be a patient or work on a single nursing unit. Knowing whether the potential case is a long or short-term patient may help the IP to identify an infection that has been brought into the facility via a transfer. IPs should make use of a facility map to track the outbreak. It may provide visual clues that indicate where and when the outbreak cases are occurring. Signs and symptoms. This information ties directly into the case definition. What are the signs or symptoms required for an individual to be considered a potential case? Keeping track of symptoms, what they are, when they appear, and how long they last, may reveal information valuable for identifying and monitoring the infection outbreak. Signs and symptoms will also inform the IP's selection of control measures to implement in order to prevent and control the continued spread of the outbreak. Depending on the kind of outbreak being investigated, the IP might include a column for each relevant symptom. Example, cough, headache, and sore throat for influenza. Diagnostics. This information is related to the specimen collected and is used to diagnose a case and identify any connection it may have to an outbreak. Diagnostic data should include the date of collection and laboratory tests requested. The IP should make note of any and all microorganisms identified by the tests. Outcomes. Was the identified infection actually a case related to the outbreak? Did the individual recover? If a staff member, did their condition require hospitalization? Line lists might also include information about any medications that patients or HCPs might be taking, as those may result in side effects that mimic infection symptoms. Key point: in order to maximize the value of line lists, it is important to have an organized system to store and share files, as line lists will evolve over time, including both variables tracked and which stakeholders have a vested interest in the information. Without a good way to organize and share these files, it is easy to lose track of which is the most up-to-date, thus causing issues in the outbreak investigation. The data contained in a line list can be used to create epidemic curves. Epidemic curves. An epidemic curve is a graph in which the cases of a disease that occur during an epidemic, outbreak, are plotted according to the time of onset of illness. The shape of the curve is determined by the epidemic pattern. The epidemic curve is used to determine whether the source of infection is common, propagated, continuing, or both. Establish if the pathogen has a short or long incubation period. Ascertain if the outbreak is increasing or decreasing. With a common source, the same person or vehicle is identified as the primary reservoir or means of transmission. As seen in Exhibit 2-8, this type of epidemic curve approximates a normal distribution, bell curve, if there are a sufficient number of cases and if cases are limited to a short exposure with maximum incubation of a few days or less. Point source. Exposure may be continuous or intermittent. Intermittent exposure to a common source produces a curve with irregularly spaced peaks. A foodborne outbreak associated with a single meal or event would be considered a point source, and an outbreak associated with a contaminated lot number of medication could be considered a continuous or intermittent source. Exhibit 2-8. Common source epidemic curve example. Source: Elizabeth A., Campbell and C., Lynn Eichern, in APIC text, K.M., Boston et al. Eds. 2020. Authors state that this curve was generated using the Generate an EPI Curve Microsoft Excel template from Unexplained Respiratory Disease Outbreaks, ERDO. Investigate an outbreak, epidemiological curve, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, www.cdc.gov/ERDO/epicurve, EML. With a propagated, continuing source, infections are transmitted from person to person in such a way that cases identified cannot be attributed to agent S transmitted from a single source. Propagated source cases occur over a longer period than with common source transmission, as seen in Exhibit 2-9. An example of a propagated source is transmission of chickenpox to multiple patients on a nursing unit. Exhibit 2-9. Propagated, continuing source epidemic curve example. Source: Elizabeth A., Campbell and C., Lynn Eichern, in APIC text, K.M., Boston et al. Eds. 2020. Authors state that this curve was generated using the Generate an EPI Curve Microsoft Excel template from Unexplained Respiratory Disease Outbreaks, ERDO. Investigate an outbreak, epidemiological curve, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, www.cdc.gov/erdo/epicurve, HTML. In regard to short or long incubation periods, to determine the probable period of exposure of cases in a common source outbreak, one must know the specific disease involved, the dates of onset of cases, and either mean or median or minimum and maximum incubation period, S, for the specific disease. Explosive epidemics resulting from person-to-person transmission may occur. Example, respiratory viruses such as TB, influenza, COVID-19. If secondary and tertiary cases occur, the intervals between peaks usually approximate the average incubation period. Note that using a template such as the one referred to in the source attribution above is a good practice because it allows the user to enter real data and automatically generate an epidemic curve histogram that serves as a useful tool throughout the investigation. Epidemic curves can be helpful in identifying the mode of transmission, for example, during transfers to the healthcare facility or in a particular unit. However, given the nature of HAIs, these can miss or misrepresent certain aspects of an outbreak, for example, the incubation period, the number of asymptomatic patients, and other factors. Also, exposures in healthcare settings are often ongoing, and organisms may be transmitted from patient to patient in addition to coming from a common, contaminated source. Hence, the shape of the curve in a point source HAI outbreak might look very different from that seen in a point source outbreak of a foodborne disease. Defining the outbreak. This step involves validating cases and defining the clinical and laboratory diagnosis. Investigations of outbreaks must be conducted in a standardized way. Areas that must be assessed include the agent, virus, bacterium, parasite, or other microbe, the host, human who can get the disease, the environment, extrinsic factors that affect the agent, and the opportunity for exposure. Key point: factors associated with the agent, the host, or the environment contribute to the development of the outbreak, and modification of one or more of these factors holds the potential elements to end the outbreak. Before a formal investigation can be launched, all presorted cases must be validated, that is, the IP and members of their team that have the appropriate knowledge and expertise, for example, in interpreting lab reports, must verify that the case is real. In this way, the IEP defines the problem in the outbreak and helps to identify what resources are needed. To define the outbreak, the IEP must develop a case definition, a set of uniformly applied clinical, laboratory, and other diagnostic criteria for determining whether a person should be identified as having a particular disease, injury, or other health condition. Case definitions are built on information related to person, place, and time, common or shared characteristics of the identified case patients, a common environment, a time range that might indicate the time of exposure. The case definition must not include the exposure or risk factor you are interested in evaluating. For example, during an outbreak investigation in a community hospital, a clinical case of norovirus infection was defined as a person with onset of diarrhea and slash or vomiting between February 3rd and 18 who was a patient or employee in the facility or was a household contact of a staff member. A confirmed case was defined as a clinical case that was positive for norovirus and feces by real-time polymerase chain reaction, RT-PCR. Case definition should be an ongoing process that will be refined as more information is collected and analyzed and more cases are identified. Initially, however, the case definition should be narrow enough to focus investigative efforts yet broad enough to capture the majority of cases. The pathogen in question will inform how broad the initial definition is. For relatively common pathogens, such as norovirus or influenza, the case definition might be quite narrow, given that the symptoms for these diseases are well known. For less common pathogens, the definition may be quite broad in order to capture information about unusual or varying symptoms. More common pathogens will, however, have more stipulations, given the greater knowledge and understanding of how they are transmitted. For example, a case definition for pneumococcal infections, which are spread through aerosols, will include coughing and sneezing. Careful consideration should be given to whether the case definition should have a microbiology component. Requiring cases to have a culture for a specific organism is often quite helpful in both focusing the investigation and facilitating case findings. However, this requirement is not a guarantee, and certain microorganisms might still be missed. This decision will be based on urgency and the resources available to the IEP. Therefore, the IEP might request a culture, but it might be used for case refinement rather than the initial case definition. The IPC program should have or develop a methodology for case finding. The IEP might use a variety of sources to find additional cases possibly related to the outbreak. Depending on how the initial case was identified, these might include laboratory records, a logical first place to start. Surveillance findings, example, for a multiple drug-resistant pathogen currently being tracked, discussions with HCP. Public health press releases. In cases of community outbreaks, environmental cultures as well as sample cultures from HCP might also be considered.